God's word is a fire in my bones, and I cannot keep it in. We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. My name is Jason Zurich, your host for the program. Thanks for taking time to tune in to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Yeah, don't be a pushover. Let's just jump right into it, friends. I've been sharing with you a bit about Silverline, the band I was able to travel around with for years. And, well, let's just say we had some very interesting adventures as we were around. Again, friends, I'd like to share with you about a young lady at a spiritual emphasis week in the state of Texas at a Christian school who, well, she came up to me. She hit me in the shoulder and said, "You guys believe in healing?" And I said, "Yes, we believe all of the Bible is true." Well, she looked me right in the eye, and her friends were all around her. And she said, "Then why didn't you pray for my healing yesterday when I told you I was deaf in my ear since I was 6 years old?" Honestly, friends, I really didn't know what to say, because it was at that moment that I realized that maybe I was hindering people coming to the Lord with my lack of belief. Again, sharing with you today, out of how being consistent changed everything, you can find this at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org, a personal journey from security to living a life of liberty. My own personal story here. So with the students around her, we all laid hands on this young lady and prayed over her. I asked in Jesus' name for the Lord to heal her, and when I was done praying, she said, "Whisper in my ear." I did, and she started jumping around and jumping up and down and running around in a circle, exclaiming, "I'm healed, I'm healed, I can hear, I can hear." Even though I had just witnessed this, I was so shocked and dumbfounded that God would want to work in and through me to heal this girl. She repeated back to me what I said in this deaf ear. Again, all the girls around her, all her friends, I should say, had confirmed that, yes, she was deaf in that ear. And if you've been with me before, you heard about the young lady who had a bad back for 6 years, and that was confirmed by the school superintendent. Again, I was just shocked and dumbfounded that God would want to work in and through me to heal this girl. It was so amazing and awesome that Silverline and I, the band, we left that school in awe of what God had just done. We all wondered what was going to happen next. And a few days later, while we were in California, after I had spoken and Silverline had played not just a concert, but some time of worship as well, many people came up and talked to us about many things. One was a young man who was about 17 years old at the time. And friends, I'm going to leave it there. If you want to know more about that, well, you can message me through Facebook for sure. I can share with you there. But I do want to encourage you to get a hold of this copy. Get a copy of your own, How Being Consistent Changed Everything, a personal journey from security to living a life of liberty. And I will just say this. Aren't you sick and tired of living a boring, mundane life in fear and being anxious about things? I can tell you, I certainly am. And friends, last time we were together in this half hour, I shared with you about borrowing a friend's van for a trip to Minnesota because our van, the transmission had gone out of it. And then we'd borrowed a friend's van, and that transmission was going out while we were going on our trip. I'm bringing this up because, friends, who supplies your needs? Who do you trust to truly do that? Are you trusting in people, or are you trusting in Almighty God? So, this van that we had taken on vacation we were able to get it fixed and working great. And after being in Ohio from our vacation, about 2 days after our vacation, the owner of the van actually asked me and my wife if, well, what I'd thought of the van. Told him we really liked it, might be interested in buying it if he still wanted to sell it, even though the transmission might have been going out on it. Again, it was fixed at a really great transmission shop, and it seemed to be okay. And he said, we need to get together tonight if that's okay with you and your wife. You notice I said tonight. It wasn't like they were going to wait. Again, sharing with you out of how being consistent changed everything. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. So this couple and my wife and I, we met at a local restaurant in the town I live in, Upper Sandusky, Ohio, to discuss the terms of the sale for the van. After talking a bit about our trip to Minnesota and getting to know each other better, we talked more and they asked my wife and me what we thought of the van. My wife told them how much she liked it and how much she would love to purchase it, but didn't know if we could pay for it. The owner then asked his wife if she wanted to tell us how much they wanted to sell it to us for, and she said, since you like the van so much, we've talked and we would like to sell you the van for $1. My wife immediately started to tear up and covered her mouth and her hands in shock. I mean, I was shocked. So that is how we bought a van for $1. You see, God wants to use his people. We need to be willing to hear God's voice and obey. This advice applies to the giver of the gift and the person receiving the gift as well. I'll continue on. In the summer of 2012, my family and I were once again planning to go to Minnesota to do some ministry at a large Christian music festival and then go to our family reunion. Well, in March, I had a decision that I needed to make if we were to head to the music festival or not. You see, I needed to pay for our booth space in advance, trusting in God to supply our needs, but not knowing if we'd have the funds in the future or not. So I decided, after prayer and seeking the Lord, to get booth space, pay for it in March, and believe the rest of the funds would come in for our trip later in the year. 1 week before we were preparing to leave for Minnesota, we did not have the funds to make this trip. In fact, friends, we were approximately $2,200 short, which also included bills that needed to be paid on top of expenses of going to Minnesota. Knowing what had happened in the past and learning from it, my wife and I decided just to trust in God and supply our needs. You'll notice I didn't go to an auto dealership or anything like that or even get a hold of people. We just trusted in the Lord and prayed. We were leaving on a Monday for Minnesota, and we started praying for God to supply our need on the Monday before we were going to leave. The reality is we were planning to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning on that Monday, a week from there. So if the Lord was going to supply our need through a check, we needed this money no later than Saturday morning. But I was hoping for Friday evening. We prayed Monday for the Lord to supply our need and presented our request like this. Lord, we know you are the owner of everything and know that this financial need for you is no problem. We do have a financial need of $2,200 that needs to be supplied by next Monday. And we believe already that you have supplied it. We thank you for supplying our needs. Thank you for being such a good God and Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. That was the gist of it, friends. And we left it at that. In the past, I had worried about these sorts of things, but not this time. I knew God would supply our needs if he was calling us to go because he had done it so many times in the past. Well, friends, let me walk you through this. No money came in on Monday. Tuesday rolled around and my wife and I continued to pray, but nothing financially happened. Wednesday was July 4th. We prayed again in the morning, but still nothing happened. Thursday came and went. We prayed as usual, but no financial blessing of $2,200 came in. We did receive about $100 from faithful supporters of the ministry, and we thank God for that, but it was not the $2,200 that we were waiting and praying for. Friday came, the morning came, and my wife and I prayed again. I was genuinely not worried. In the past, I had let my emotions and lack of faith get the best of me, but this time was different. Why? I completely put my faith and trust in the Lord. I knew He would supply. Here's a little tidbit that I find interesting, and I think it's very important to this story, and the importance of having a marriage built upon the Lord. You see, in the past, my wife, Jaya, has been the one who would encourage me when I would get down or have lack of faith that God would supply. In this way, she helped strengthen not only my walk with God, but also our marriage and family in the process. This time around, my wife made the comment, "I know God will supply, but what if it doesn't come by Monday? What are we going to do?" I replied, "Don't worry. God will supply today or tomorrow. I am not concerned about this at all." You see what happened there? Because of my wife's faith in the past, she helped me grow in my faith. And so today, when she lacks faith, I'm able to encourage her. Many times, it's my wife encouraging me in my faith. Friend, she is such an amazing woman of God. So, I went to work on that Friday and left this situation regarding the money we needed for our trip in the hands of God. He was the one in charge of this, not me. It is so freeing when you realize that it really is all God's responsibility, and we just have to obey His leading. When I got home that evening, my wife was a little leery and pulled out a check that someone had given to her. It was for $1,200. Then I pulled out a check for $1,000 that I had received that afternoon. We praised God and thanked Him for His provision and faithfulness of giving us $2,200 in and through His people who obeyed His leading. We were going to be able to make this trip with no worries at all. Now, let me be clear. We had told no one of this need except for God. We did not go out and ask for these funds from people. This was people hearing the voice of God and obeying His leading. And friends, still other times, people will just drop by with beef or pork or fresh produce for our family, not knowing that we just run out or we're about to run out. And we've also seen God at work in allowing us to give in this way as well to those in need. Friends, this is from how being consistent changed everything, a personal journey from security to living a life of liberty. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I do thank you for taking time to be with me. Again, I do encourage you to find that. How being consistent changed everything. Again, my name is Jason Zurich, your host. For Do Not Keep Silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host, Jason DeZurich.
I'd like to begin today's Fastcast with a quote from Oswald Chambers. "There's only one thing God wants of us, and that is our unconditional surrender." Friends, it can be hard to do this because instead of surrendering to God, so many people want to go their own way and do their own thing. Yet, in God's actions toward us, there God is, being patient, grace-filled, and being self-controlled. Since God is love, we can logically conclude that allowing people to go their own way, to make their own mistakes, to allow them to live out their God-given free will, and even to sin, though God doesn't want us to, and they receive their own natural law consequences, we can assume this is loving, because God is the example to us. It seems many people struggle with this idea, though, and seemingly some people want to take the place of God in others' lives, and they do not even realize it.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
As we begin this Fastcast today, I'd like to direct you to our The Foundation Matters series. I'd like you to consider a very important word today from George Washington. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. Friends, that's a quote from George Washington. Also, Ecclesiastes 1:9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. We find that in Ecclesiastes 1:9. I want to direct you to our blog post titled, Being Good Without God.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I so appreciate you taking time to be with us tonight. As we continue on, I want to let you know about a brand new resource that Worldview Warriors Publishing. Well, we're just blessed to be able to have released this. It's titled Call to Arms, written by our blogger Charlie Wilcott. Charles Jackson, speaker for Creation Truth Foundation, says this about, well, this novel, this fiction novel that we're releasing, a hybrid of the genre of C.S. Lewis and of Frank Peretti. Walcott's tale of spiritual warfare took me away. With its solid biblical principles and graphic, gutsy realities, Call to Arms is a powerful allegory for the training of those young now, but who will soon be soldiering in the last great battle of the age. That's from Charles Jackson again, speaker for the Creation Truth Foundation, founder of Points of Origin Ministries. Again, friends, it is available right now in hardcover, paperback, and Kindle. Let me tell you a little bit about the story itself. A trumpet has sounded, a declaration of war, and the need for soldiers to answer the call is greater than ever. This deadly war is not between two nations of state and politics, but between opposing powers of hidden realms. Which side will you choose? Charlie shares this about, well, this writing. Spiritual warfare is a topic that is rarely addressed correctly, in his opinion. It is often either overemphasized or underemphasized. But he goes on to say it is a reality. Call to Arms has spiritual warfare as its central theme. It is written in the style of Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness, and I can easily say that Peretti's book had a profound influence on my life. And he says, even before I read it, what really triggered my sense of the spiritual reality came all the way back in elementary school when I was on the mission field. Several of the short-term mission teams put on a skit about spiritual warfare going on behind the practice of witnessing to a lost soul. And the skit has an angel and a demon engaged in a sword fight. It was clearly influenced by Peretti. And needless to say, that left a seed in my heart. I have been interested in sword fighting ever since. Friends, he's someone who fences and has fenced all over the country. He loves the sport of fencing. Friends, he's just glad that this is being re-released. Be able to join with the ministry of Worldview Warriors. Friends, we are in a battle. And, well, I'm going to take time and share with this more in this program because, well, this book is all about that war. Friends, as Christians, we face three major enemies that war against us and seek to derail our faith. Those three enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is the culture of sinful man in its rebellion against God. It is the general mindset of society as a whole. Only for a brief time in American history did any culture actually have a general favor towards genuine Christianity, and now that is most certainly gone. He continues on to say, is not just fading, but in his opinion, it's gone. It seems as if the United States today hates true Christianity. Don't believe me? Try speaking about six-day creation or a global flood in public. Try proclaiming that God created people, male and female. Try proclaiming that marriage is only to be between one man and one woman, and that sex is only for the marriage bed and not to be defiled. Friends, if you want to be countercultural today, well, be a vocal conservative Christian. You will see that you are indeed in a spiritual battle against the world. You're also going to find that the world's culture has so deeply entrenched itself in the church that your greatest foes on these issues will seemingly come from within the Christian community itself. The second enemy, our sinful nature, the flesh, the old self. This is typically our biggest and most difficult enemy that we face. You know, friends, the old self really doesn't like being put to death. The way we battle the flesh is through our three major enemies. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You don't have the space to cover this in detail right now, friends. We just don't have the time to cover it. But I do encourage you to do a study on the three temptations of Jesus. Those are the categories of temptations that man faces, and all of them appeal to health, popularity, and wealth. Temporal things that, well, they're going to come and go. All of them are aimed at taking trust off God. And thirdly, friends, the third enemy is the devil and his demonic minions. Because Call to Arms deals with this theme, well, let's just focus on that. Charlie says he's going to be right up front, and his personal theology has changed and matured since he wrote this book initially 15 years ago. At that time, the church he went to was rather charismatic with relatively strong word of faith leanings, but not to the point of calling it heretical. He says, I had previously been a Christian in a Reformed church, but we didn't agree with their doctrines enough to become members, he says. Now I'm much more Reformed in his theology. I bring this up for a reason, he says. Sometimes people in charismatic circles go overboard with experiences and frequently throw out concrete sound theology, as many do. And friends, I'm not judging. Charlie's not judging. But many in the Reformed do the opposite and be so academic that they fail to address very real situations dealing with the spiritual realm. When it comes to the demonic, well, friends, we're dealing with spiritual entities. And friends, this book goes into it. One of the things that drove the key plot point in Call to Arms is an encounter that he had with a coworker during his final few weeks of working at a grocery store. The story would take me an hour to tell in person, he says. But the key thing was that he was able to witness to this gentleman. And he ended up stirring a demonic stronghold that had been lying there and hidden in his life for a while. Charlie says, I witnessed to him and gave him the gospel, but in the end, I could not drive it out, nor did he desire to seek to follow Christ. So friends, this new resource that we are sharing with you, Call to Arms, it is a re-release, actually. And we've been blessed because, well, Charlie's previous publisher, well, they went out of business. So Charlie has agreed to allow Worldview Warriors to publish this with, well, Worldview Warriors Publishing. It's available hardcover, paperback, and Kindle. Call to Arms. Friends, the trumpet has sounded. A declaration of war and the need for soldiers to answer the call is greater than ever. This deadly war is not between two nations of state and politics, but between opposing powers of hidden realms. I do encourage you to go find this resource. Should be at worldviewwarriors.org. And friends, if it's not available just yet, I want you to know I'll put a link up at Worldview Warriors on Facebook. Or Do Not Keep Silent Facebook page and other Facebook pages there as well. Friends, I so appreciate you being a part of what's going on in the ministry. Friends, right now, we Christians, more than ever, we need to stand up for what's right and true. We need to be loving in our actions. We need to seek out the ways of Jesus Christ and do them. I'd like to thank the personal message from my friend Jeff. He writes, "Thank you for your message on this date." He's excited to listen to it when he gets home. Friends, again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurek, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Don't be a pushover, and I'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.